This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The battle for the NFC East lead is on Thursday against Washington on this radio station called by this man, Brad Sham, the voice of America's team, joining us on Sean and RJ on the Byers Barricades phone line. Was there any Cowboy cognac sipped in your house to celebrate last night?
There would have been if I, frankly, had not fallen asleep after the Kansas City Raiders game. I got home and I had some work to do to get a daily report for the network out, and so no. But I think that I could have it tonight, and it would still count.
Don't you have a player show on the radio? Are you going to do
it
after
today?
That?
Not today, because we never have one the week of Thanksgiving, because it's just ridiculously a short week for the players. It's just too much. So okay. This is the one week we don't do one.
What jumped out to you in this win?
What jumped out? The first thing I want to say is the quarterback play was what you expected. It was not perfect, but it was competent and it was good, and it kept them in it. The offense, I think, looked settled. I think the offensive line move was good. Cam Irving's doing a pretty decent job over there. He's kind of settled that left tackle thing down. And there were some individual plays. Obviously, Lamb's catch was ridiculous. The defense in the first half was great. And then, Minnesota came and did what they do in the third quarter. So I guess the last thing that would jump out at me was that there's nothing in the previous nine games that would indicate that this team, without Prescott, that this team would, after Minnesota scored, would stop them and come back and score again. That's not something we had seen for the last month and a half. And they did it, and I believe that they are capable of doing it.
That was my big question for you. What are some of the reasons, and how much defensive improvement have we been seeing as of late?
Well, I think the two the answers to those two questions, Sean, are tied together, and it's a shame that Diggs is hurt, because you don't have a lot of options back there. I'm hoping that Awuzie will get a little better as he gets his sea legs under him, but they just don't have anybody else back there. But I think there's two things. I think that one is, although it sounds like an excuse and no one wants to hear it, but I think that it took some time for them to settle into the way they were playing defense. Now, parenthetically, I think it's a completely fair suggestion that the coaching staff needs to look at itself and say, did we do too much too fast? Did we just throw too much at them without an off season and a preseason? Were our expectations unrealistic? I think they were, and I think the play on the field showed that. And I think that they had, and I've said this to you guys before, I think there was some addition by subtraction with the guys that they took off the field. Worley, Poe, I mean, those guys were not getting it done. Griffin, now maybe Griffin would have just been finding his stride, but what they did is they gave snaps and responsibility and room to grow to younger guys who have a different mindset. So, there's not a lot of talent at defensive tackle right now in depth, but I think they all want to. Antoine Woods really wants to, and Neville Gallimore really wants to, and Tyrone Crawford, God love him, really wants to. His body's not letting him the way it used to, but he really wants to. So I think that all of that comes into play when you see what's going on. And here's the other thing. Don't underestimate the importance of them missing Van Der Esch for all those weeks. I was just looking. One of the things I did when I got home last night was pull up the play-by-play of the last game against Washington. I believe it was Van Der Esch's first game back, and you could tell he didn't play great. But all of those weeks when they looked just horrific, you know, like all-time worst bad, they didn't have that presence in the middle. And that affects how Jalen Smith plays, and it affects everybody else around him. I think that's a big deal. And when we go back and write the story of this season,
do you think?
Real quick on Van Der Esch, because I heard Brad. It just clicked in my head. I heard you in the post game. I think you were talking about Van Der Esch, talking about how he looked in the preseason and training camp and all that stuff. Can you just recap that for us?
Saw him in training camp you know, Broadus had asked me the question, and he and I were there every day. We didn't miss a practice in training camp. And Van Der Esch, to me, looked like Urlacher. That's the comparison people made when he came out of school. And, you know, I don't know if you saw flashes of it the first couple of years, but he was in training camp. He was healthy, confident, really moving. Remember, they had moved him into the middle linebacker spot, so he's directing traffic, and he was everywhere, sideline to sideline, and you know, he's the size of a 747 running around out there, and it was just clear that he was a dominant presence. And then you take that away, and they don't have anybody who can even approximate what he was giving them then.
Brad Champ, voice of the Cowboys, joins us here 105 through the Fan. Were you surprised before the half that they didn't run one more play?
Oh, mildly. You know, I think Babe made that point, and I certainly always defer to him. I think that my response, when Babe said, I think you had time, he said, I wouldn't be overly critical of it, but I wouldn't be you had time to run one more play. And I believe my response was, have you seen this team for the last 9 weeks? I mean, you're down there with a chance to kick the field goal. Let me do that. Let me not get overly cute. Let's not overthink this. You know, do we have time to squeeze one in? Yeah, we got time. How would you feel if you threw an interception down there? And they almost did a play or two before. And so just don't be too cute. Don't be too smart. Just kick the field goal, and you know, because they're going to get the ball to start the second half. Just go sit down and have your glass of milk and get ready for the second half.
Brad Sham here on the Fan. It's no secret. You know that we've wanted the better draft pick all along for this year, but I tweeted this after the game. If you're going to bring McCarthy back, and it looks like it's a guarantee that happens, this type of win, you need these types of wins here and there, Brad, in order to restore faith, in order to build his program, the emotion, the jubilation on the sidelines. You need an awesome flight back home. You've been on the planes. You've been in the facility for a long, long time, even though this year changed it. How much do you agree with that, that you need these types of moments to keep faith in Mike McCarthy for next year and moving forward?
150% you're correct, and I'll give you the first thing I thought of this when I was walking out of the stadium. 1990, if my memory's certain, I remember they're coming off 1-15 in 89. So my memory is they were 3-7 going the week before Thanksgiving. Sound familiar yet? going on the road, and they went to L.A. to play the Rams. And that was before everybody was all thrilled about teams. You know, that's like 30 years ago. No one was on – there wasn't any Twitter. No one was jumping up and down for Team Tank. They went on the road and beat the Rams. They didn't lose again until the last game of the season. And that was a game they were playing to the way all the tiebreakers and things fell. Had they won the last game in Atlanta, they would have been 8-8 and made the playoffs, coming off 1-15 and 3-7. And do not ever, I'm begging you, ask Babe about that game, because that was the last game he played for the Cowboys, and Aikman was hurt. They gave him an absolutely unworkable game plan, which was that was what helped get Norv Turner to town. That was David Shula, and it was in the rain, and Atlanta beat Babe bloody, and he never had a chance. But they needed a bunch of things to happen. They needed Green Bay to lose the day before on a Saturday so they could get the and that happened. From that run, from that starting with 3-7 and going on the road and winning the through December, from that run grew the run of the 90s. Now, this was a different team. This is an older team than that was. That was the, you know, Aikman was in his second year. Irvin was in his third year. Same with, but still, the point you're making is what it does going for the program down the road. And if, in fact, they are able to do anything like that and can play for the playoffs, imagine if you think it feels good, felt good on the plane last night, in the locker room this week, just imagine what a December run would do for, and that doesn't mean they won't make big changes, including in the coaching staff, and they probably should, but imagine what that would do. This is one game. What would happen if they went on a run, became relevant in the conversation in December? The next year, Sean, they made the playoffs in 1991, and I think they won a playoff game on the road in Chicago, and then they lost to Detroit. Aikman was hurt again at the beginning of the going into that game. And then came the Super Bowl runs. That's where the seeds were planted, in that run going into L.A. the week before Thanksgiving. And that's happened. That's real history. And that's why this team tank stuff just drives me nuts. It's not all in your control what the other teams do. You don't know where you're going to wind up and finish, and you don't know who's going to be available in the draft, and now you're going to evaluate drafting college players who didn't play this year or played a half a year. You play to win the game. Thank you, Herm Edwards. And and what you're saying, history has already proven right.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.